Scripture reading for this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. But a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps.
Morning, church. This morning's lesson, as was previously read, is going to come from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, discusses the relationship of man's planning and God directing work in multiple occasions. There are various scriptures in the Bible referencing God's work to direct our path. One example is found in this morning's text, which is Proverbs 16, 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. It's human nature for us to make plans and prepare for future events in our lives. But in each case, God directs the outcome. Have you ever faced something that was unexpected? We've all experienced something in our lives that was unexpected. Maybe it was a good surprise that brought you joy, or maybe it was a heartbreaking tragedy that deeply affected you in your life. We all experience moments in our life that we don't anticipate, whether it's death, the death of a loved one, close relative, or life, the birth of a grandchild, or health issues. Maybe you've received a bad medical diagnosis from a doctor. But even though unexpected things happen in our lives, we still make plans and dreams for our lives. We all make plans for the future, whether it's the planning of our education, going to college, medical school, or planning further education for our children. Family, having a child, you have to make a plan. Adopting a child. Relationships, getting engaged, or planning a wedding, a career. Maybe you have a job and you're willing to work up the corporate ladder for a different position. For an example, my wife and I, we got married in New York about 16 years ago. Got to double check and look at the wife just to make sure, right? But as we got married in New York City approximately 16 years ago, a couple of days following our wedding, we drove back to Ohio with a U-Haul in tow. My wife relocated back to Ohio with me 2 days following our wedding because she had transferred with her current company. And she had started working a couple of days after our wedding once we got back to Ohio. But little did we know once we got back to Ohio that she would lose her job. We had plans of our life together, both our jobs, building a home, so on and so forth. But then all of a sudden, boom, here comes a curveball. Fortunately, we're so thankful that God worked it out and she was rehired. She was quickly rehired shortly after she had lost her job. We can never fully plan for the unexpected since we can't predict the future. Personal example, when I worked with my previous company, myself, I worked for Pier 1 Imports for 24 years and 8 months before they went out of business. I got concerned myself because I was going to have to start over. Worry started to creep into my mind about what I was going to do, how I was going to pay the bills, and I would have to start all over again in the workforce. Throughout my life, I've always had jobs. I've always held down multiple jobs. And once I graduated high school, actually, I held down 3 jobs at the same time in preparation for college. So after hearing that my company most likely was going to file for bankruptcy, which they had often been in the news, potentially on the verge of filing for bankruptcy several years, but once plans really got deep and all the analysts determined that Pier 1 Imports would probably wouldn't survive after COVID, I had to start making a plan to find a job. Then I found out that during a company filing for bankruptcy, they will only pay out up to 2 weeks of vacation. I had 5 weeks of vacation. So immediately I put in for 3 weeks of vacation. And my boss approved it. And I'm thankful for the next set of sequence of events that happened. Because after I put in for those 3 weeks of vacation, the last day before I was getting ready to go on that 3 week vacation, the phone rang. I was actually still at work. And it was a former colleague. It was a former colleague that I used to work with. And they were basically letting me know, hey, we have a potential job opportunity over here for you. It'll be a promotion. You can come and interview for it. I said, awesome. Day one, right? So I had to get my resume together, had to go through, rehearse some interview questions because, again, I hadn't interviewed in almost 25 years. So I had to make a plan. Long story short, I've been interviewed, got the job, started the job while I was on vacation from the other job. So now, once again, I had two jobs that I was thankful for in that situation. My point, we don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next, let alone what may happen within the next few minutes. Worry and concern had started to creep into my mind, but God showed up and provided a solution. We learn in Scripture that God is all-knowing, meaning He knows everything that will happen everywhere in the world. God has complete knowledge of every event and action that happens. Also, God is also sovereign, meaning He has the ultimate authority and control in this world. That means that even though we make our own plans, that God ultimately is the one who directs our steps. God has the power to change the direction of our lives, to orchestrate the details that we can't even fathom, and to guide us into what is best for us. Think about the dreams and the plans that you have for your life. Have you ever submitted those plans before God in prayer? This doesn't mean that you shouldn't make plans for your life, but whatever you plan should not come before God's plans for your life. We should be asking God to direct our steps each day, asking God to reveal any desires or plans that aren't from Him. Submit your plans before God so that you'll be open to following Him wherever He leads. There's a similar proverb recorded in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. It reads as follows: the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. A person can play out every aspect of their life, yet God is ultimately the one who decides what will happen. The Apostle James reinforces this idea in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such place, city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Nothing we can intend can override God's will, as referenced in Job chapter 42, verse 2, reading, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. This does not mean planning is wrong, but what we plan needs to be prepared in the spirit of humility and obedience to God. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it describes human beings as sheep that have wandered away from God. We have all gone astray, and regardless of how intelligent a person is, it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps, as read in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. If a person seeks God's will and walks by the Spirit in the light of God's word, the Lord will approve and guide his steps. As read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul's letter to the Ephesians gives good counsel about the believers and how they should walk. It tells us to walk in a manner worthy to the calling to which you have been called, as read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. The word worthy has the idea of matching up. Our actions should match our words. Our outward presentation should match our inward convictions. To walk worthy of our calling means to live up to that calling, to live in such a way as to honor God as we complete his course of action for us. There are several verses in the Bible that reference how we should walk as Christians. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Also, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Also in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The book of Job provides a great example of this relationship as well between one's plans and God's directing ministry. God considered Job a righteous man. Job, he had plans for the future, including continuing to work in the fields, as we read in Job chapter 1, 14 through 15, and also Job making sacrifices for his children and his family, as read in Job chapter 1, verse 5, which reads, so it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would sin and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. And also in Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, reads as follows. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Obviously, Job had it going on back then, everything that he was blessed with and all of his blessings. But during this prosperous time in Job's life, Satan appeared before the Lord and was given permission to test Job in Job's fear of the Lord. Satan carried out this testing by taking things that belonged to Job, such as his material possessions, his family, and his health, thinking that Job would curse God because of everything that he had lost. God directed these events, utilizing Satan as a tool for testing Job, as read in Job chapter 2, verse 6. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. Job certainly did not plan for everything that was happening to him, losing all of his possessions and his family, or his children dying in a natural disaster, as read in Job 1:18 through 19. But God directed the outcome in Job's life. But we know that the story of Job doesn't end there. But the contrast between Job's plans and the steps that God directed to take shows the relationship between man's future planning and God's present directing work. Just as God directed the circumstances and the events in Job's life, God directs and determines our circumstances and the events that happens in our lives. We can take comfort in knowing that the Almighty God is in control of all of the outcomes that happen throughout our life. In Psalm chapter 37, verses 23 through 24, reads, "The righteous man who delights in the Lord is promised firm steps. He can move forward in confidence because, though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." God's sovereignty should comfort the believer in Christ. God is in control. It is wise to plan for the future, but should we find comfort in that, ultimately, that God is the one directing our steps? God's plan leads us down a good path, one that we should all rejoice in. Ultimately, following God's direction, should be our daily focus on a daily basis. If we study God's word and keep God's word in our hearts, we know how we should navigate through our life as Christians. God's word will provide direction on guiding our daily steps. When we're at a crossroad, think WWJD, what would Jesus do? Should be in our hearts and assist with helping us to make good decisions. The old adage goes, man plans and God laughs. We should be praying that God's will ultimately be done. As in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, "Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you need before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Sometimes we tend to take for granted that we may see each other once again, or see anyone once again for that matter, after you depart their presence, unknowingly that someone may pass between that last time that you saw them. We should all be thankful for every moment that we have to spend with our loved ones, our families, and friends, and be thankful for what you have and never forget to count your blessings. And more importantly, giving thanks to God who granted you those blessings. In the spirit of the season of Thanksgiving, we recently reflected here around the dinner table and on Thanksgiving Day holiday about a lot of the things that we were thankful for. Most of the things that people state that they're thankful for are family, friends, health, employment, and so on. God granted us all of these blessings, and we should be thanking him for them daily and not just during the holiday season on special holidays. I'm thankful for many things in my life, but most importantly, I'm thankful for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who willingly went to the cross to die for all of the world. The selfless act was the most important thing to me that we all should be thankful for. He died on the cross for our sins, and for this I'm eternally grateful. As we tend to close this lesson this morning, keep these key biblical principles in mind. allowing God to direct your steps. Trust in the Lord completely. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight, as read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. This perhaps the most direct passage on the subject matter of directing our steps, emphasizing the surrender over self-reliance. Secondly, acknowledge God's ultimate control. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps, as read in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. This highlights that even our well-thought-out plans are subject to God's ultimate purpose and direction. Thirdly, seek his will through his word and through prayer. In Psalms 119, 133 reads, "Order my steps in your word. Let no sin rule over me." By reading and obeying God's word, we gain insight into the path of what God wants us to take. Prayer is also a primary way to ask for wisdom and guidance, as read in James chapter 1, verse 5. Fourthly, recognize our own limitations. In Jeremiah 10:23, it states, "I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not his own. No one who walks directs his own steps." This verse references humanity's inability to perfectly guide themselves, but having a need for divine intervention. Five, trust in God's good plans. Believers are reminded in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, that God has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Trusting in this promise provides peace, even when our personal plans seem to fall apart. Also, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leadings. The Bible reads that the Holy Spirit acts as a guide, helping believers discern God's word and his will in the direction in our daily lives, as read in John chapter 16, verse 13. In summary, the Bible teaches that allowing God to direct our steps is a matter of being humble, consistent, trust, and obedience. It involves actively seeking God's wisdom in all aspects of our life and being open to his redirection, even when it differs from our own desires and will. So maybe you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Christ, and you've realized that living in a dark, cold world, maybe you need that assistance or guidance for God to actively help direct your footsteps. Or maybe you're here this morning as a Christian and you want to come before the church asking for prayer. If you feel the need to do so, please do so at this time as we stand and sing the chosen song of invitation.